Haggai chapter 2. We'll read our text verse. We started this sermon last week, last Sunday night. And we won't give a long review. We'll just kind of touch on what we touched on last Sunday night. But Haggai chapter 2 in the last verse says, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." Last week we touched on the fact that during the rebuilding of the temple, most of the time we like to refer to Ezra and Nehemiah, which were major characters in the rebuilding of the temple and of the walls. But two other lesser known characters that had a major part as well were Haggai and Zechariah. They were prophets that were there during this time to be a tool of encouragement to those that were building of the walls. Because not only do the leaders need encouragement, but those that are working need encouragement. And so Haggai specifically came back. The work had been kind of stalled. It had been stalemated, so to speak. They had kind of let it sit for about 16 years of the temple. And so Haggai was sent to a man by the name of Zerubbabel. And we mentioned to you last week that Zerubbabel was in the line of David. And also he was a governor over Judah. And he was kind of pushing these people along. And so Haggai was sent by God to give him a message of encouragement. And that message was, number one, "I have made you my servant, Zerubbabel." And what I told you last week, what a great honor and privilege it is to be called the servant of the Most High God. And then he said, "I will make thee as a signet." And we dealt with the first two points of what a signet meant. It was a position of high honor. It was also a priceless possession. And a signet was a ring or something wore around the neck of those that had authority or power. And it would be an emblem specific to them. And they would use that to sign documents and to have orders made. And so once that signet or that seal was placed upon something, that means it could not be broken. And so God said, "Zerubbabel, I'm making thee as my signet. I'm giving you a position of high honor in my eyes. I am also, you are my priceless possession." And what a privilege it is to know this morning that God has made us as a signet ring. We are His priceless possession. No matter what state you're in, no matter what your economic ability as far as this world's concerned, God loves you, He cares for you, and you are His priceless possession. And so we're going to deal with the last two points this morning. Next, we find that a signet ring is also a symbol of power. It's a symbol of power. Really, the only way that someone could give up their authority as a signet is to take it off and to transfer it to someone else. And we find this all the way back in the book of Genesis when Joseph, remember, was from the pit, from the prison to the palace. And once he made it to the palace, Pharaoh gave him the authority or gave him the signet to be able to do to be second in command right underneath Pharaoh. And so God, just like Pharaoh, has given us and delegated us certain powers and certain privileges. And that's why He's made us as a signet ring. Aren't you thankful that we have power this morning? And it's not by anything that we have done, but by and through the working of the Holy Spirit. We've already seen that here this morning. Those that have come to the altar for needs. Brian Davis this morning, you can tell a burden was lifted. The power of God rested upon him. And he had to let it go a little bit because sometimes it gets bottled up and it'll explode if you don't let it out. Amen. And I'll just mention Darren Game. Darren needs a touch from God. He needs the power of God with his hearing. He's having some hearing problems. And he said it's just terrible not to be able to hear what's going on in church services. How many of you believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can heal Darren Game this morning? I don't know what the specific other needs were here today, but I'm thankful that no matter what need, what condition, what problem or what request you bring to God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can answer your prayer. He's given us power. As I mentioned to you last week, Haggai was used as a great tool, but also Zechariah was used as a great tool during this time. And about a month into the rebuilding of the temple, Zechariah comes along with a special message to Zerubbabel. And you'll find that in the building of the first temple, Solomon, of course, was the architect and the builder of the first temple. And so Solomon had great resources. He had everything at his disposal. Of course, we know Solomon had great wealth. He had great armies. And from the spoils of these battles, he was able to take the spoils and to use it on the temple and make a grand and lustrous place. But it had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And so now it's come to the lots and to Zerubbabel's lot to help these people to rebuild build the temple. And he was saying to him here in Zechariah 4 verse 6, he said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. And this is what he said. He said, Zerubbabel, you don't have the resources like Solomon had. You don't have the fine armies like Solomon had. You don't have the great wealth that Solomon had. But he said, here's what you do have. He said, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. He says, Zerubbabel, you don't have to have all those resources when you have me. Aren't you thankful tonight? We don't have to have all the resources. We don't have to have all the answers. If we have Jesus and His power, He says, not by might, not by power, but by Thy Spirit, saith the Lord, things can be accomplished. Hallelujah. The word might in that aspect is a military term. The word power is means to have to be strengthened. And I'm sure that through all this, people needed strength and they needed might to be able to complete the task that God had given them. And He said, you can do it all yourself if you want to, but it's a lot easier, Zerubbabel, if you just give it to me and let me help you rebuild this work that I have assigned to you. And there's three ways tonight that the work of God can get done. Number one, we can do it by our own power. And if you want to, if God lays something on your heart, you can try to do it yourself if you want to. But you ain't going to get very far, are you? You can also help and get the resources of other people. We have a great example this morning. The Hopewell House needed help. And so they called on resources from the outside to come in and help them. And thank God that prayer was met. The Turners here, you've called on help from people all over the world to help you. And every day, through the provision and through the power of the Holy Spirit and other people's resources, thank God the work is able to be accomplished. But other resources can only go so far as well. I'm sure there are times that the Hopewell House and the Turners and the other ones that we support can say sometimes, even though people do support us and even though we do get other resources, there are times when we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you what, the other resources can only go so far. But when other resources stop, thank God we can count on the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the power of God to answer our prayer. Hallelujah. Remember, David tried to borrow the armor of Saul, didn't he? He tried to use other resources to fight God's battle. And he says, these things haven't been proved and I can't use them. They don't fit me, Saul. This is not what God ordered me to do. But I thank God I have proven the Spirit time and time again. I've went to Him time and time again. And thank God He has never once let me down. Hallelujah. He's been faithful. And He goes on to say in verse 7, He says, in Zechariah 4 verse 7, it says, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. He said, Zerubbabel, this mountain that you have faced in front of you, it ain't no big deal to me. I'm making it as a plain. He said, I'm cutting the mountain out of the way. I'm cutting the mountain out of the way and making it a plain that you can handle. Oh, that's wonderful. And God can help us climb the mountains. We sing that song, Born to Climb, as the choir. And we are mountain climbers today. And sometimes God allows us and gives us strength to climb the mountain and get to the crest. But sometimes, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can just remove the mountain out of the way. And doesn't the New Testament say that Jesus said Himself, if you have the faith, the grain the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and it'll be removed and cast into the sea. How's that going to happen? I can't go and speak to that mountain and say, get out of here under my power. No, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can speak to the mountain of cancer. I can speak to the mountain of death. I can speak to the mountain of low income. I can speak to the mountain of sickness. I can speak to the mountain of depression. And thank God, God can move it out of the way. Hallelujah. But look what also He said. He said, not only will I make this mountain as a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. What he was saying here was, he said, Zerubbabel, I've started this work in you, and it's going to get done. God has ordained you to finish what I have placed in you. He says, Zerubbabel, you're going to get to where you're going to see this building complete,
And in fact, you're going to be able to take the headstone and put it in yourself. And when you put it in, everyone will start to be shouting and shouting, "Grace, grace," because the power of God. I'm sure Zerubbabel said, "Lord," when he was getting ready to get into this task, he said, "Lord, I can't do this by myself." And that's why Zechariah comes along and said, "Zerubbabel, you don't have to do it by yourself. Let God help you with it, and you'll be able to take that headstone. And when that building is complete, you can look back and say, 'He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ.'" D.D., God doesn't do anything halfway. He's not going to heal you halfway. Some of you don't believe that, I guess. He's not going to heal you halfway. He's going to take all the cancer. Glory to God. And at the end of it, she'll be able to lift that doctor's report and bring it to God and say, "God, you told me, you promised me." And we'll be able to shout, shout, "Grace, grace is what made the way." He's not going to halfway save your family. He's not going to halfway save your marriage. He's not going to halfway save your kids. God don't do anything halfway. "He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ," the book of Philippians tells us. And if He started it in you, as long as you keep Him in the front and you let Him do His work in you, there ain't nothing that can be accomplished. And thank God, it will be completed. He'll give you the power. He said, "I'm making thee as a signet," giving you the power. Whew. But then finally, He said, the signet ring is a symbol of a promise. So what they would do is, and I already kind of mentioned this to you, they would have a letter or a document. Well, let's take the story of Daniel, King Darius. He signed or sealed a decree that no man could pray. And the Bible says, you know, they signed it and sealed it. What that meant was, most of the time they would make that decree in the scroll or whatever. They would roll it up. They would take wax from a candle and dip it on that letter and take their signet, which was their signature, and they would press it into that wax. And no man could open or break that seal other than the one that wrote the decree. That's why Daniel told him. He said, King told Daniel, he said, "Daniel, I've already wrote the decree." He said, "Well, you don't have to break the other one, just write another one." That's what Jesus did on the cross. "I've not come to condemn the law. I've come to fulfill the law." He just wrote a new covenant. Oh, that's good. Promise. Dan already mentioned this morning, he promised, "I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world." He gave us a promise. See, Jesus died on the cross, and our promise died. Our promise was taken off the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And they took the body. They went to Joseph's tomb, a borrowed tomb, a new tomb. Only had room for one person at that time. So they went to the garden, they placed our promise, and they rolled the stone over the sepulcher. Now, the book of Matthew tells us something that no other gospel writer tells us. They were afraid. What they said was, "They're going to come and steal His body." So Pilate said, "Let's make it sure. Let's put guards there, and then let's do one other thing. Let's seal it." Doesn't mean they took a welder and sealed the door shut. They sealed it. They put a seal on that stone. So that way, if anyone broke that seal or opened the door, it would be punishable by death. But 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun and saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. They looked in. No one was there. Of course, Jesus, our promise, had risen from the grave. You say, Brian, but how was the seal broken? Oh, I forgot to tell you about that. Remember, I told you, the only way a seal could be broken is by the one that wrote the decree. So did that mean did Pilate come in the middle of the night and break that seal off? No, see, Pilate only thought he wrote the decree. But see, in John chapter 10, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says this, "No man hath the power to take my life. I have the power. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up." And didn't he also say somewhere around that same part, he said, "They will try to destroy this temple, but in 3 days I will raise it up again." So Pilate only thought that he sealed the stone. But way before Pilate even saw Jesus, Jesus said, "They're going to destroy me, but in 3 days I want to get up again." He wrote the decree. He wrote the decree, and he said, "Well, how did he seal it?" He sealed it when he said, "To tell us die, it is finished." Amen. Jesus wasn't the only one that used that word back then. It was a merchant's term. The merchant used it whenever a transaction was complete. They would say, "Tetelestai, the transaction has been taken care of." And when Jesus died on the cross, the transaction of our sin was paid for, signed, sealed, and delivered. Hallelujah. So he had the power to open up the seal because he wrote the decree and signed it with his own blood. Hallelujah. Promise, Bob, promise. Never thought back in 7th and 8th grade I'd be preaching this, would you?
No, I couldn't.
No.
Stories about you, that's for sure.
He said he was worried about me, that's for sure. He was my algebra teacher. One promise, though, that hasn't been fulfilled. The promise of His return. You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going up shall come again in like manner. There's the decree. He signed it when he went away. And there's only one that's worthy to open it up. Because in Revelation chapter 5, there all the books were there. It was sealed with 7 seals. And they was all worried because no one could open the book and loose the seals thereof. But thank God they said, "But look, here comes one, a lamb as it had been slain." He is worthy to open up the book and loose the seals thereof, the seals to the end of time. But before that even happens, Horatio Spafford said in the last verse of his famous song, "It is well with my soul, that Lord hates the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll." That means the skies are folded up right now spiritually as a scroll. They've been signed and sealed. But thank God one of these days, the one that wrote the decree is going to open up them seals. And as Mike Landon always says, clouds open up and there stood Jesus. Thank God he's going to open up the scroll of the clouds. He's going to come back and gather home all those that are washed and redeemed by his blood. Hallelujah. In fact, those that have been sealed by His blood. So let me ask you this. Are you ready for the promise to return?
Amen.
And He's going to be looking for one thing.
Amen.
He's not going to be looking for, "Well, that's a nice suit, Dennis, you got on. Well, that's a nice watch there. Takes a lick and keeps on ticking. Well, you've done a lot of good works there, Dennis. You go down to Hempstead every month and you preach to those people that need help. You say, you've been through cancer. Well, that's great, Dennis. But I'm not looking for all that.
Amen.
Let me look inside you here.
Amen.
Oh yeah, there it is. There's the seal.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
God will say, I recognize that seal anywhere. That's the blood of my only son. And that's what he's going to be looking for. You can be a good person. You can have even brought cans to help the Hopewell House. And Bob appreciates that. But more importantly, he wants you to go to heaven with him. You may have given a little bit of money to help the Turners, bake some bread, help some people. But what they want more than anything is for you to go to heaven with them.
Amen.
The question is, has the seal been applied to your heart?